What do you see in this restructuring of government, and what is good or bad about the SBA going to cabinet level and some of the other things that the president outlined last week?
Well, I mean, it is very obviously and very definitively, kind of a busy activity, something just to, I guess, keep everyone's attention on the fact that they're really keeping small business and business at large in the interest, or I guess maybe the top levels of the administration's activity. And that's all well and good, but in just kind of reviewing the information that's available out there and then reading a few other articles about some other impressions that other experts have about this, I kind of likened it to something that Senator McCaskill proposed last year for restructuring the NAICS code system and so forth. I think the intent is there, but the plan hasn't been thought out on exactly what the overall impact or benefit's going to be to the country.
What would you like to see, if these pieces are out there all kind of flying around, how would you like to see them put together?
Well, and let me kind of go back and say, I mean, first of all, the change to SBA and the proposed merger of all the different agencies is broader than just the industry that you and I talk about all the time, which is being the federal sector. So obviously this impacts small businesses, nationally. But from the standpoint of our community and federal contracting, there are some very specific activities, and I just talk on a few of them, every once in a while, that I think would have a more immediate and definitive impact for small businesses. And some of those include doing things like strengthening the subcontracting rules. And, there is some of that being put in place right now, maybe changing some of the acquisition rules relative to things like simplified acquisitions and making those, complete set of size instead of reservations for small businesses, only because that's one of the areas where the government spent $16 billion last year, and half of that went to small business. So another $8 billion in the pockets of small business wouldn't hurt anything.
Mm-hmm. Are your members giving you much of a reaction to this yet, or are they still kind of in the same wait-and-see mode that you are?
Well, I think everyone's kind of waiting to see, when the other shoe is going to drop and what it's going to actually mean to us. I mean, one of the things, and just kind of reading through, some of the different chatter out there, one of the takeaways I got from one of the experts, who I think was one of the college professors, talked about that the elevation of Administrator Mills to a cabinet level does not mean the agency is elevated. It just means that she gets to sit at the table now. And so only Congress can approve the SBA as an agency being elevated to a cabinet-level agency. And one of the other takeaways in that same article was that the fact that nowadays it really doesn't pay for agencies to be at that table.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they talked about VA getting elevated years ago, and I think one of the comments was they got the limousine and the status of it, but couldn't get budget to do some very basic things.
The issue, too, that you point out in your blog post on the ASBC website is, I think, interesting. We have your blog linked up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. What is the anticipated benefit to the government or small business of this elevation you're referring to Karen Mills going cabinet level? If, as CNBC small business editor Patricia Orsini reports, SBA would no longer be in the cabinet if the proposed merger is approved by Congress, that just kind of feeds the uncertainty of all this, I suppose, when you analyze it like that.
Well, and again, I mean, let's say it takes, a year for the merger to go through and then for that reorganization to start happening. What potential benefit could the government and Administrator Mills get out of her having cabinet-level status for the next 12 months? Assuming it's going to take that long or that it's going to happen at all. So I don't understand necessarily what the overall game plan is, and it's not my business necessarily to know it, but I don't understand the necessity to have her elevated to that cabinet status if, in fact, when this proposed merger goes through, and we're assuming that the Secretary of Commerce or some other newly appointed, since it sounds like it's going to be a new agency, would take on that cabinet position if it were a cabinet-level agency.
You ask a number of questions that are either direct or rhetorical at the end of this blog post, and I commend it to anybody who is interested in this issue. As I mentioned, it's linked up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Are there any of those questions, Guy, that you think are more important than others to the small business community that does business with the federal government?
Well, I think the one really has to do with the overtaxing of the resources, quite honestly. And again, this is you know, small business wide for the entire nation, but very specifically, you know, one of the challenges that companies face getting into government contracting or even being engaged in government contracting are the number of processes and rules that come into play, and they're there for good reason for the most part. Some of them, you know, are probably outdated and could be done away with or reformed. But essentially what we're looking at doing, and I don't want to throw DHS under the bus, but I think everyone is cognizant of the challenges they faced with their merger, you know, a number of agencies being rolled under one. We're looking at taking, again, you know, different agencies with different cultures and, you know, structures and so forth, putting them together to work as one. And so from the standpoint of industry, we're going to have to sit back and wait for that to come together. Before we probably start seeing any of the real benefit of the streamlined government and so forth.